It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Google expands into yet another business.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Google has announced a move into online travel. The search giant is buying travel technology company ITA for $700 million. The deal could make Google a new destination for searching airline prices. It could also bring new scrutiny from anti-monopoly investigators. Marketplace's Janet Babin joins us live to talk about the deal. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Bill.
But tell us more about what ITA does.
Well, you know how when you're looking to mix and match your way to a low price on a flight, you can search like Bing Travel or Kayak, Fare Compare. Well, some companies like this use software that comes from ITA to compile your results. The company also helps run several airline reservation systems. And now Google says it's going to use ITA software to, quote, improve the way flight information is organized.
And how does this move help Google as a business?
Well, this is Google trying to stay ahead of the competition. I mean, Microsoft's Bing search engine has gotten some traction lately by focusing on travel and shopping, and analysts say this is Google's answer to that competition.
Is it going to be like Expedia, where you actually can book your travel through Google?
Well, Google did say it has no plans to sell airline tickets, but they will probably roll out some new flight search tools. Google calls the acquisition, by the way, pro-consumer, but it is worth noting that antitrust regulators are expected to look very closely at this deal.
Marketplace's Janet Babin. Janet, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
The new healthcare.gov insurance website has just been launched, and already companies are jockeying to upgrade it to a version that will let you comparison shop for health insurance. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Gregory Warner reports.
Type your zip code into the healthcare.gov website launched yesterday. You can see all the insurance plans available to you. That information's never been public, says Deanne Friedholm of Consumers Union, which publishes Consumer Reports.
They will be able to now build upon this to actually include information that will be even more helpful to consumers.
Such as how much are premiums and what really do those plans cover? That information hits the site in October. eHealthInsurance.com, the online broker, is bidding for the contract to design those comparison tools. So is Destination Rx, the company that provides software on the Medicare website to compare prescription drug plans. Vice President Jim Yocum says that within weeks after those tools went public in 2006,
we saw prices flatten for dozens of brand name drugs.
He says insurance premiums may even out somewhat, but comparing premiums is harder because insurance companies can still price you differently based on your medical history. They can do that until 2014. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
It's been a tough week for stocks. Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed around the world today. Investors are said to be waiting on this morning's news from the U.S. government on employment for the month of June. The overall number could be ugly, 100,000 jobs lost. However, that includes all the temporary government census jobs that went away. Private employers may have added as many as 100,000 jobs. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 41 points, closed at 9,732.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Washington, D.C. rakes in $5 billion a year from tourism, and a chunk of that money goes to the tour guide business. Well, the city government is making it easier to become a guide, which has some tour guides trying to protect their turf. From WAMU in Washington, D.C., Rebecca Shear has the story.
Carolyn Crouch has been leading tours in D.C. since 1998. So I'm actually going to have us start and look at Heritage Trail sign number one. Then we're going to make our way north down 4th Street.
She says applying for a license was quite the paper chase.
It was almost as document intensive as what I had to do to adopt my daughter from Vietnam.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Fellow tour guide Tim Krepp agrees.
That was a very broken Byzantine process.
Krepp says to get licensed, you had to attest to a whole slew of things.
Most notably that you're not a drunkard. I believe the doctor had to do that.
The notarized doctor's note also had to vouch for your hearing and vision, and that you didn't have things like epilepsy and heart disease. Finally, aspiring guides had to prove they were an American citizen who can read, speak, and write English. All those requirements are gone. And nixing that last rule worries Maricar Donato, who's been guiding in D.C. nearly 30 years.
They're going to remove that law about the U.S. citizenship. That's not good because they're stealing my job.
But chances are her livelihood will be safe. Donato leads prep classes for the D.C. license exam, which tests your savvy on history, buildings, monuments.
True or false, the Washington National Zoo is one of the 19 Smithsonian museums.
True.
False.
The city still will require guides to pass that test. But Carolyn Crouch applauds D.C. for easing the other guidelines. Unlike Donato, she says the relaxed rules shouldn't hurt tour guides or tourism.
I don't think that's going to decrease the number of people who come to visit. And there's more than enough people for a big cadre of tour guides.
What's important, she says, is that those guides are excited, passionate, and, of course, knowledgeable. Which brings us to that test question about the National Zoo. It's not considered one of the 19 Smithsonian museums because technically, it's a research center. Next time you're touring D.C., see if you can try and stump your guide with that one. In Washington, I'm Rebecca Shear for Marketplace.
And finally, here is the entire week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. We were going to pay for financial reform with a tax on the banks who created the storm. Instead, the money will come from, I swear, the bailout fund, because that seems fair. The recovery is tiring. Nobody's hiring. There's something new wrong with Toyota's wiring. Let's see. World Cup, the Americans lose. I'm trying to find some positive news. Oh, the oil spill's fixed. Nah, I'm just teasing. It's spewing like hell and it's hurricane season. Supreme Court squashes the handgun ban? I guess that's good for a firearm fan. You know what? These headlines are leaving me flat. It's a 3-day weekend. Let's focus on that. Have fun with your sparklers and Francis Scott Key, and I'll see you at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.